This is the Inside Slant Football Podcast, brought to you by Jayhawk Slant. We go behind the scenes to bring you the inside scoop from Les Miles and his staff, the KU players, and recruits. Here are your hosts of the Football Podcast, Randy Withers and John Kirby.
Hey everybody, this is Randy Withers. Welcome into a special signing day edition of the Inside Slant podcast from JayhawkSlant.com. The Kansas coaching staff just wrapped up the late signing period, completing their 2020 class. We are going to get into the main recruits who signed today, take a look at the class overall, and break it down with all of the freshest info coming in right off the presses today. Let me bring in my man, the publisher of JayhawkSlant.com and the individual that has been on this beat for probably the longest, and I know he doesn't like me saying that, our veteran man with the plan, Mr. John Kirby. Kirby, are you alive this evening?
I'm alive, man. Hey, the question is, I know you were down at the Chiefs parade today. Have you thawed out?
You know, it's crazy. I've had people ask me, say stuff about the cold and everything that weren't down there. It really wasn't bad. It really wasn't at all. I'll say this. I'm thawed out and I'm fine. I got a little bit of a headache starting already, but it was something. I just saw a picture come across Twitter of Frank Clark during the parade, and he wore Derek Thomas's home red Chiefs throwback jersey today for the parade, and Terrell Suggs wore his road white, and I was just like, as if you couldn't love this team anymore. Specifically, they had to break out jerseys for a guy that I grew up idolizing. So yeah, that bunch just keeps getting better and better.
Well, I know my son was down there, and he texts me, you know, he got down there early. He's like, man, I am freezing. I'm thinking, hey, you better find a way to get through it, man, because nobody's going to be leaving.
No question. I actually, you know, randomly, I ended up hanging out and watching the parade with Tracy Wistrom, Webb City alum, former Nebraska standout. And just a great guy. I'd never met him before today. One of my old friends and teammates, Michael Freeman, that I graduated from Shawnee Mission Northwest with, he was like, hey, come on down, I'm hanging out with Tracy. And I didn't really put it together, and yeah, we had a great day. It was a lot of fun. There were a bunch of us and a bunch of kids that were, you know, 9 to 12 years old, that were, you know, we were just trying to make sure they were all into it and everything. And it was, you know, obviously it's different than the Royals parade in 2015, but man, it was a great setting. I heard just a few minutes ago there were only like maybe 4 or 5 arrests the entire day. And it was just another one of those Chamber of Commerce kind of days for Kansas City. And man, it was pretty awesome. I feel really lucky I was able to be there.
Well, I kept up on it with the TV, but obviously, you know, it's National Signing Day, so the show goes on for me. I mean, you know, the focus, you know, people ask me, you going to the parade? No, I can't, guys. It's National Signing Day. I hate to say it, but KU National Signing Day trumps Chiefs Parade for me. I mean, that's, you know, I've got to be in front of the computers working the phones and staying up on everything, but it sure looked like everybody had a good time.
Well, and I appreciate you letting me, you know, giving me a little bit of flexibility so I could go down there. Because obviously, I mean, tomorrow's going to be a big day for us. For those of, you know, our listeners that may not know, we're going to be in Lawrence tomorrow morning. We're going to have interviews and press conferences with Les Miles, obviously. We're going to be able to talk with some of his assistant coaches. Tomorrow's going to be another really big day. And, you know, they pushed back the press conference with a kind of a nod to the Chiefs. I think everybody saw it. Les Miles was tweeting at Tyrann Mathieu, asking him, you know, is he the honey badger or should he call him the landlord now? And yeah, I mean, it was pretty cool to see them kind of, you know, step back a little bit so the Chiefs could have the main stage. But tomorrow, you know, all of our listeners, we want to make sure, be sure, check in on the slant. Be sure and click on the Memorial Stadium Slant Suite, because we are going to have a ton of content coming tomorrow from a lot of the guys we don't hear from that often. With that, John, let's start getting into this. You know, there's this class, it's kind of unusual, and this is, you know, those of us that cover recruiting, we've talked about this, that this is kind of the dynamic that the early signing period has brought, in that a lot of the heavy lifting for most of the Division I Power 5 programs, and specifically for the Jayhawks, was really done in December. Today, KU, Les Miles, and his staff, however, were able to add some really nice pieces to round this 2020 class over. Round it out, excuse me. I'm going to turn the mic over to you now and kind of let you just go down the list. Tell us about the players that faxed in their LOIs today and what we should know about the guys that finished out this signing class for Les Miles.
Yeah, Randy, I'll start with, you know, Jacoby Bryant. He's probably the guy that the Kansas fans are most familiar with, a cornerback out of Alabama. He was committed to Kansas ever since the end of the summer, and one of the highest rated recruits all along in the class. And when he came out and decommitted last week, when he publicly did that, I mean, you know, the warning bells go up, because the first thing you think is he's not going to Kansas. I mean, usually any time a kid decommits with, you know, a week left to go on the signing day, you're thinking this isn't going to go well. But, you know, they got everything smoothed out. I know his coach Clinton Smith told me that, you know, Brent Dearman played a key here in the last week and getting whatever it was that needed sorted out. And I, Jacoby Bryant, that's a huge get, because that's probably one of the top two rated kids in the class they were able to keep in there. You know, you got Keenan Caldwell, another guy that was committed to Kansas all along. He's a defensive lineman from Louisiana. He couldn't visit in December because his team at Oak Grove won the state championship. And he said all along, as long as they're playing in the state title, he can't take a visit in December because they played all the way through. I think it was December 19th or 18th. I can't remember the weekend. But they played that didn't allow him to take a visit. But one thing I'll say about Caldwell, he stayed true to Kansas the whole time. I mean, he told me, Kansas is going to be my only visit. And I know people get worried about this. And sure, it's recruiting. There's always reason to be worried and be cautious about, you know, a kid that's, you know, had some offers and it plays a position of need that D1 guys are always looking for. But he stayed true to KU all the way, took his one visit there, and that was a nice signing because they needed a guy up front that gives them some size. Then you got Clinton Anakru, who we'll hear from it here in a little bit. You know, he's got a good frame. He can get bigger. He's a defensive end. I think he'll fit into what DJ Elliott wants to do. You know, you had Chris Jones, who was committed at defensive end, and then he decommitted here 7 to 10 days ago. When you look at it, okay, Jones, from what I've heard, is tipping the scales at under 210 pounds. Well, Anakru, when you look at him, I mean, he's got some physical size, and he can even get a little bit bigger, and I think he fits more into what Kansas wants to do. You know, he was committed to Texas Tech. He had some other options. He visited Washington State, Colorado State, Virginia Tech. So there were some guys on him. And I think I really like adding him today because I think he's going to give you some of that edge in the 3-4 where you're hoping your guys are, you know, 240, 245, 250, sometime in that range in that 3-4 scheme. And I think he's more like that. Then the last couple guys are on the offensive line. And again, these were positions of need because I think they both, one of them will definitely be a tackle, and I think they both can project a tackle. But Jackson Satterwhite, an offensive lineman out of Oklahoma, you know, he's a little bit bigger guy. He's got some body to him. You know, interesting, his dad, Stacy, was an all-Big 8 defensive lineman at Oklahoma State. He actually played for Bill Miller, who coached at Kansas two different times. I know the Kansas fans will remember Bill. But, you know, again, he's got some size to him. And something you don't see very rarely, our Oklahoma guys down there that do the ratings and follow the high school guys, Satterwhite wasn't on the radar. And when Kansas offered, they went and looked at his film because they called me right away and they said, hey, we like this kid. This kid's good. He's got good hands. He's violent. He plays with some attitude. And they they brought him in at 3 stars. And you don't ever see that very often with a kid who comes out of nowhere that comes in with the 3 stars. So they really liked him. I think that's that was a good pickup, a good eye for talent they found late there. And then Bryce Cabledew, an offensive lineman out of New Mexico, another interesting guy because, you know, he's 6'6", 6'5", 245, 250 pounds, and he's light right now because he's playing basketball. He does other sports. But once he gets in a weight room and really focuses on football, I think he's a guy that you're going to see add weight, and he's athletic, and he reminds me of some of those guys that came in the Mangino era that you maybe didn't think were ever really going to be offensive linemen, and they grew into it, and Cabledew reminds me of that with his frame that he has.
Sounds like a really, really great way to round out what is essentially the first full class that Miles and his staff really had a full year to put together with a full recruiting cycle. One of the names that John mentioned was Clinton Anakru, who was a much needed addition along the defensive line. We have got him on the phone right now. Kirby's going to pick him up on the studio line. Let's hear from Clinton right now about signing with the Kansas Jayhawks.
I am joined by defensive end from Texas, Clinton Anakru, who joins us, and he was a big part of the signing day news today for the Jayhawks. Clinton, how you doing?
Doing good, sir. How about you?
I'm doing well. Did you have fun today?
Yes, sir. Super excited.
Well, good. You get to do it once, so hopefully you enjoyed it and took in the day. You know, this morning you tweeted that you have decided. Tell me about that, and did you go into this morning still kind of thinking about your decision?
It's been a very long process and a very, one of the big decisions I have made and I will make. I was a bit questionable due to the fact that I was open for a while. I wasn't committed to any schools. And the fact that my recruitment was still open, and I was blessed with all the opportunities to go to different schools and have different opportunities to pick from.
You know, tell me, when you chose Kansas, what were some of the keys and the reasons that you looked at the Jayhawks?
When I visited, it really took me. I could see myself living in Lawrence, Kansas. It's like a college town, but it's a college town. It has a nice college town feel to it, you know. The academic aspect of getting a degree from the University of Kansas, and the new head coach being the first real class that Coach Les Miles really gets his hand on and gets to recruit. I just see a program on the come up, a program that's about to change, and I want to be a part of that class that does that.
Last time I talked to you, you mentioned Coach Chidera is someone you were talking with. He's one of the new full-time members of the staff. Just tell me about a little bit of him and how he did recruiting you.
Because for me and Coach Chidera, we're both Nigerian. We're both on the same tribe, so we could relate on a deeper level. And so, the reason being why he was one of the people that I talked to the most. And, because just because we could relate. So he was a guy that recruited me a lot, and also Coach Miles and Coach Drake.
What did the coaches tell you, with your body type and playing defensive end? What did they tell you they like about your film, and where do they see you fitting in the defense?
The coaches like the fact that I am a really versatile guy, and I can play multiple different spots, and really it's going to be what my body does, when I get in the college weight room and see what my body does to itself.
You're officially a Jayhawk. You've signed. The recruiting's all over. How does it feel to know where your future home is and just have everything done?
It feels like a 100-pound weight has been taken off my chest, just that being a really, really huge decision that I had to make in my life. And just being able to just get that out and just know that, it's done, it's over with. It's an exciting feeling. I'm excited.
Great stuff. Clinton, I really appreciate you joining us. Congratulations on signing with Kansas today, and I'm sure we're going to talk to you again down the road.
Yes, sir.
Great to hear there from Clinton Anakru. Kirby, let's step back now. Now that we have everybody in the fold. We know that who all is a part of what is really the first full recruiting cycle for Les Miles and this staff. We'll get into breaking down the different parts later in this edition of the Jayhawk Slant Inside Slant podcast. But if there was something that stood out to you more than anything else about this group, what would it be?
Well, Randy, this one's easy for me. And I mean, I'd go to my grave on this. You know, I've done this for 20 years now. And boy, I tell you, I've seen things that have worked and I've seen a lot that haven't. And I've joked that, am I smart enough to run the Kansas football program? No, I'm probably not. I'm probably just a rookie on the outside. But I'll tell you what I have seen. I've seen what works and I've seen what hasn't. And at Kansas, building your program around high school football players is the way that I've seen it work. I've done this 20 years. I think I've been through 6 different head coaches. And then all those head coaches, I've seen almost every one of them start to go the junior college route, the transfer route. And it's a normal thing for coaches at Kansas. Listen, in the recent decades, there hasn't been a lot of success. And there's been a lot of coaches that have been fired at Kansas. And what happens, Randy, is those guys feel that pressure of what it comes with coaching at Kansas. After a bad year or 2 down years, the first thing guys think of, and again, I don't blame them because this is normal. When you're a head coach or on a coaching staff, you're thinking, okay, we got to win. We got to turn this thing around. So how has everybody done it? They've done it switching to junior college players and bringing in 1-year transfers and, you know, mortgaging some blue shirts into that. The way you do it is you build it with high school football players and you get 25 this year and you get 25 next year. And when you get 25 and 25, you get back on schedule with your recruiting. And in that, you're going to find 10 football players who can play. I think the stats show that 50% of the recruits that you recruit never really contribute. I mean, it's that way at Alabama or Florida State or Clemson, wherever you are.
Very true.
Well, if you get 10 players in one class and then 10 players in the next class, you're increasing your number of kids to choose from when you keep getting 25 high school football players. And I credit a lot of that to Les Miles because I think Les Miles is confident in himself. He believes that he knows what needs to be done. And I don't think he's the type of guy who will buckle to pressure. Let's just say, and I'm just throwing this out, let's say they go back out and go 3-9 again. I don't think Les Miles is the type of guy who goes, okay, guys, that's 2 years now, or we're going into their third recruiting class. We've got to start winning. We've got to start going and getting JUCO players. We've got to try to speed this up or, you know, go around the corner and kind of, you know, like take a speed cut and go in there and figure out how you can do this faster. There is no quick fix. There is no quick fix at Kansas. And I think Les Miles is confident in what he's doing and his staff buys in to what they've talked about. And I think the plan is to do this with high school football players. Now, next year, if they've got a few holes, might you see 3 or 4 junior college players? Absolutely. But I still think you're going to see the high school football players in the 20s. And this is how you win. And this, as a guy who covers KU football and knowing that we've got a lot of Kansas fans who are on our site and listen to this, Kansas fans should be incredibly excited that this class has 25, 26 high school football players in it because that's how you do it. And when you ask me if there's one thing that stands out in this class, that is hands down without a question what got my attention.
Okay, well, building on that then, talking about this class of high school prospects that are on their way to Lawrence now that are signed and sealed. When you look at each player and position group, are there, you know, what jumps out to you from those?
Yeah, you know, there were a few position groups that I really liked, maybe a little better than the others. Some that jump out to me, the cornerbacks. I mean, it's one of the best cornerback groups I've seen signed at Kansas in a long time, maybe ever in 20 years. I mean, you got Jacoby Bryant, Deuce Mayberry, Caron Prunty, who I I think he's undervalued. Romello Dotson, Jonquay Lewis. I mean, you got some guys in here who are pretty talented corners that are good athletes. And not only that, I haven't gone and looked. I believe every one of them 6'1", 6'2". I mean, so they're big body guys. I mean, they're big athletic kids. And then right in front of them, the linebackers. I really like Krishan Brown and Alonzo Person, Taiwan Berryhill. I believe that's all the linebackers off the top of my head. I think there were three. But those kids, when you watch their films, there's some explosiveness. There's some football instinct. These guys can run. They get there. Now, I also like that I think there's frame that they can get to 225, 230, and keep that athleticism. I mean, you look at Alonzo Person. I mean, that kid has, I mean, when you look at him, that's what the guys that, you know, that you used to see lining up on the West Coast playing for USC and Utah and Oregon, that's what and some of those schools actually offered him. So, and then the other one, the other position group that probably catches my attention, I move over to offense, would be wide receiver. I mean, Malik Johnson, Lawrence Arnold, Luke Grimm, Stephen McBride, Tristan Golightly. I mean, you've got it all there. You've got guys who are fast. You've got guys that are good route runners. You've got possession receivers. You've got guys with size. I mean, so, you know, once again, Emmett Jones does a great job recruiting. And anytime he's out looking at the wide receivers, I don't think that's going to be a group that Kansas fans are really going to ever worry about much when it comes from recruiting class to recruiting class.
Okay, I'm going to put you on the spot here, John. If you had to pick two recruits that you felt were maybe guys that had flown under the radar, or maybe put this a better way, could outperform their rankings, give me two names along those lines.
I'll start with Caron Prunty, who I just talked about here just a second ago. You know, he's from Virginia, and I'll be honest with you, Randy, I would have put odds very low that Kansas got him. I mean, he had some guys that were offering him that were Power 5 schools, mainly your in-state guys, Virginia, who was in the ACC Championship, Virginia Tech, who has a very good tradition and a good program. And you're thinking, when I found this out, I mean, the first thing that I think I'm conditioned to think is, come on, they're not going to get the kid. I mean, he's going to go in, he's going to have a good visit to Lawrence, he's going to go back, and he's going to visit Virginia Tech, because he had one weekend open to visit before he made his decision, and he went back, and he didn't even take a visit. He stayed with Kansas, and I mean, again, you know, he's 6'2", and he's got a ton of athletic ability, and he was wanted by some schools that play some pretty good defense and make pretty good evaluations on the defensive side of the ball. So he's one. And the other one that I really think is undervalued is Jalen Daniels. And I went back and asked the guys at Rivals, rewatch this kid's film, okay? He throws a nice ball. He's got velocity on it when he has to. He was offered by the service academies. He's a smart kid. He's a good athlete. He can run. And the guys at Rivals have seen him in camps. And, you know, they held strong that he was 5'11". And I get it. Hey, Randy, we've all played this game. We've all followed recruiting. A lot of it comes down to the eyeball contest. We've seen college recruiters do this for years. And if the kid's 5'11", you know, you don't find as many suitors. If he's 6'1", all of a sudden everybody's interested in him. And I've always said this, maybe watching Bill Whittemore and Todd Reesing really opened my eyes that stuff doesn't matter as much, but it still does. And somebody asked me the other day, and I said, listen, if Jalen Daniels was 6'1", he'd probably be at UCLA or Utah or somewhere like that on the West Coast where he's from. So I think I like the fact that Brent Dearman studied this kid and got to know him for 10 months. I mean, he watched this kid, and I love the fact that type of recruiting effort was put into it. So if there's two guys, those are probably two that stand out to me.
Over the last month, there has been some movement on this staff and some changes in the faces and the guys that are actually out there recruiting some of the players that we saw sign today. Let's talk about some of those new coaches. How do you see the new additions to Les Miles' staff?
Yeah, I like him, Randy. You know, I see youth. I see some guys that, you know, probably are going to be passionate. They're going to be hungry. You know, guys that are getting also their first full-time gigs at the Power 5 level. Now, Jordan Peterson, who will coach safeties, you know, he coached at New Mexico. His final year there as a guy in his, you know, low 30s, he was the defensive coordinator. He's been at Fresno State. You know, he played at A&M, so he's got a lot of connections in Houston. But, you know, the people that I've talked to say he's a hustler. He's going to go out there and, you know, beat down the trails. Josh Ergel, I like him. I've heard so many good things about him. I heard, even back when he was announced, I had no idea who he was. Some of the things I started hearing was he's a guy that if there was an opening, could step right in and take over. And almost like a minor league farm system, you know, where you lose a coach and you go within your own organization and you bring a guy in. And I think that's what Ergel and Shadera both are. You know, these guys know the system. They know Les Miles. They know what's expected of them. They know the lay of the land. And that's big when you have guys on staff. Shadera, Uzo Deribe, who is going to be a name that Kansas fans are going to have to learn, because this guy can recruit. I've already had guys that recruits out there that have told me they've already spent time and talked to him. You just heard Clinton talk to him in our interview there, talk about him. So, you know, these are guys that I like. They're youth. I think they're going to hustle. And I think you're going to see a lot of, you know, offers earlier than normal.
You talk about offers earlier than normal, and recruiting is very much a business that really never ends. And you've already had several updates on juniors who have visited Lawrence over the last few weeks. You ready for this 2021 class, Kirby?
It never stops. I mean, it's kind of funny. You know, we're going to go listen to Les tomorrow and talk to some of these assistants. And, you know, I've already put some junior updates up, and we'll have more. You know, Randy, I'll tell you, there's a rule. I don't like it. And I put this on our message board. I didn't know this rule. I stay up on the recruiting rules, but one slipped past me, and I'm shocked it did, and it never got much pub. The month of February has gone dead now. So once the official visits ended last weekend, there are no more campus visits the rest of February. Well, in the past, these staffs would use, you know, these next few weeks, a home basketball game or something, to bring juniors on campus. So now, for KU, I believe they're going to have another junior day, but it's nice to have a basketball game or something to have it around. So I think the next junior day, you know, will probably be something that, you know, doesn't have an event like basketball. And I'm not saying you still can't have a good junior day. You can still accomplish a lot. But I don't like the fact that there's that much time off where guys don't get a chance to bring junior recruits in. So that'll be interesting. How about this one? The Jayhawks already have 202 offers out in the 2021 class. So I think that shows you right there, they are moving fast, and they're moving out there probably faster than I've ever seen it. I don't know that I've ever seen a Kansas staff with 200 offers out in early February to the class coming up.
And that wraps it up, really, for this 2020 class for Les Miles and his staff that really just became final here in the last few hours. Tomorrow, as I mentioned earlier, be sure everybody check out jayhawkslant.com. Kirby and I will be headed to Lawrence to hear from Les Miles and his staff about the recruiting class that they've just finished up. So be sure check in for all the coverage in Memorial Stadium Slant Suite, as well as on the Slant. For our man John Kirby, I'm Randy Withers. You've been listening to the latest special edition of the Inside Slant podcast. We'll be talking to you again soon.
This has been a podcast from JayhawkSlant.com.